is rapidly expanding. But, I mean, this, I mean, there's no comparison. This is two-thirds of the world's proven oil reserves. And if you want to go see where the U.S. military presence is, you can see that if you look at the Middle East, that the entire area surrounding it, of course, the United States and Canada, but I mean, this is a major concentration of the U.S. military presence. And it also points out there's now 156 countries in the world that have U.S. troops and so forth. Walt and Mearsheimer contend that extensive U.S. military and diplomatic support for Israel jeopardizes the position of the U.S. government in the Arab world, on page 8 of their book, and especially when the U.S. government is desperate for help in Iraq. This is a clear argument they make is forcefully in the beginning of the book. And I would say at this point there's little debate. I make no effort to debate them on this talk. And I think they're absolutely right that the support that the U.S. government has for Israel has jeopardized its positions with governments such as Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. And this is an article that came out not long before I spoke last on the campus. This is from Jeffrey Fleischman, the LA Times reporter in Cairo. Arab skeptical of the U.S. peace effort. The summit to push Israeli-Palestinian talks forward is seen as a hasty, ill-conceived, and not likely to achieve much. This is what's called the Annapolis Peace Conference. It says the summit comes as Washington's allies, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan have become less circumspect in criticizing U.S. policy, and so forth. And my argument would be that the true debate between the Israel lobby and Walt and Mearsheimer, plus others like them, like Jimmy Carter, is how much Israel still benefits the United States in terms of its imperial agenda in the Middle East. And the implicit Walt and Mearsheimer argument is that Israel's support of the U.S. was important during the Cold War, or U.S. support for Israel, rather, was important during the Cold War, but has now become a drawback to the United States, and that the U.S., given the demise of the Soviet Union and the end of the Cold War, now needs to have a new policy in the Middle East centered on Israel. And my other point would be that in terms of the lobby, that the lobby is very aware of the broad imperial agenda of the United States, certainly since the 60s, which is when it was after the 67 war that the United States began to give military support to Israel. This was the Lyndon Johnson administration. And that, hypothetically, if you took some of the old socialist founders of Israel, and who actually were allied with the Soviet Union in the first 2 years of the country's existence from 48 to 50, and if they were to somehow be resurrected from the dead or taken out of their nursing homes, and if they were to say that Israel needs to break its relationship with the United States and realign with Russia, or you know, something hypothetical like that, any support that AIPAC would have would dramatically wane. In other words, AIPAC's support is always contingent on being able to position itself as a supporter of U.S. interests in the Middle East. And the argument that Walt and Mearsheimer is saying is, well, that might have been true during the Cold War, but Israel no longer serves U.S. interests in the Middle East, and that's kind of the essence of the debate. And if we want to get a better understanding of exactly what the U.S. presence and U.S. interests in the Middle East are, over which Walt and Mearsheimer are essentially presenting a fairly radical proposal to realign U.S. foreign policy in the area, we can, you'll find it. And this map will actually, this series of maps actually is kind of a continuation of the ones we looked at the beginning, because here you'll realize to what extent the United States has become the successor empire to the Ottoman Empire, the British and the French, and the Soviet Union, and now is desperate to maintain its dominant position in the overall Middle East. And if you want to understand this agenda, I made references to it earlier, you can look to Jimmy Carter, who's now a sharp critic of Israel and says that Israel's control of the West Bank as apartheid, but in his State of the Union address in 1980, January 1980, he declared that access to Persian Gulf oil was a vital U.S. interest and that the U.S. would be prepared to use any means necessary, including military force, to secure that oil. This maps the oil, so you can see, I showed you the overall thing, you can see, you can see Iran, Iraq, which some people say when fully explored will have more oil than Saudi Arabia. You can see Oman, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Bahrain, and Kuwait. So you can see where basically two-thirds of the world's oil reserves are located, with minor amounts around the Caspian Sea. You can also see where the bases are. Look at this map over here. The blue indicates things that are relatively new, like Kuwait, Dubai, Qatar, Saudi Arabia. The red are the ones that were basically pre-Clinton, like in the Sinai Peninsula and so forth. So, we'll have maps that will show it in a larger framework as well. This one blows it up so you can see as far as East Timor, Diego Garcia, the Indian Ocean, Saudi Arabia, things in the Philippines, Turkey, where the U.S. has three major bases, plus the fleets that the U.S. has in the Mediterranean, the Persian Gulf, and in the Indian Ocean, immediate access to this area. And this demonstrates that where the fleets are, you can see the USS or the U.S. aircraft carrier fleets plus France, Britain, and I think also Britain. Or let's say this is rather Italy, France, Britain, and I think three or four fleets from the United States. This map is also important because if you look over here at Turkey, you will see that the United States is the only country that stations nuclear weapons outside its territory, and the U.S. has three bases in Turkey, just minutes away literally from Iraq or any place else in the Middle East, where it has permanently stationed nuclear weapons. And this map is also revealing because it shows you where all the new U.S. military bases are located in Iraq, which is a dramatic increase in the military footprint, and of course, literally hours by road and minutes by air from Iran. And this map overlays both, so you can suddenly see these are where the oil fields are, and these are where the major military installations are. And this map was made before the U.S. had the bases that it's recently presented in Iraq, as well as the new military command called AFRICOM, which would be in this area below sub-Saharan Africa. I think we can conclude, this is what's driving Walton Mearsheimer, that U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East is a deep crisis. The coalition which George I assembled in 1992 for the first Gulf War, the Coalition of the Willing, is long gone. The invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan have proved to be a disaster. We know that Israel last fall attacked a Syrian military installation. And we know that Turkey temporarily withdrew its ambassador and has had a series of military attacks in northern Iraq where the PPK is stationed, rather, PKK. And we know that when it comes to efforts of the United States,